the not very nice and anatomically inaccurate prophecies of O Lord, He the Server. For the prompt, Pen Pals. Yours truly, written by Shamir, read by Jar. Aziraphale can hear his heartbeat in his ears as Gabriel goes through the mail. Gabriel always insists that, as the eldest sibling, getting and distributing the mail is his duty. Aziraphale thinks he just wants to control what mail everyone gets, but he knows better than to say that out loud. Thankfully, his Anthony has been very clever so far, and his letters, disguised as the Great Britain Philatelic Society newsletter, have always eluded Gabriel and reached Aziraphale without issue. This started as a whim, really. A search for connection on a day when he was feeling particularly lonely that led Aziraphale's eyes to fall on a pen pal ad in his daily newspaper. Taking the leap, he'd written. Unexpectedly, the man named Anthony J. Crowley had written back. Aziraphale could have never gotten away with phone calls. The walls have ears, and in the house he shares with his family, the walls feel like they have eyes as well. He scurries away to the bathroom. He'd love to lock himself in, but there's no key. And sits on the floor with his back against the door, clutching the envelope to his chest. These letters have been a ray of sunshine in his otherwise bleak days. His heart is still beating hard in his ribcage as he recalls what he wrote to Anthony last time. He couldn't quite bring himself to dare suggest a meeting, so he tried to nudge the conversation in that direction, just to gauge the other man's reaction. "Every Wednesday afternoon," he wrote, "I take the tube to the Oxford Circus Station. I walk on Oxford Street, Soho on my right, and take the first turn left. There is a post box there. It's not different from any other post box in the city, but it's rather far from my neighbor, so I'm confident I won't be spotted. I like to dilly-dally for a time, making sure I wrote your address correctly, wondering when your reply will come. At 3 p.m. sharp, I push my letter in the post box and walk home. I must confess, my dear, this correspondence of ours has become the highlight of my week, and I sincerely hope my letters have been able to entertain you just as much. Yours truly." He feels a little sick as he opens the envelope with shaky hands. Will Anthony understand what he was implying? Will he ask him to meet next Wednesday at 3 p.m.? Anthony's always been the brave one between the two of them. But perhaps Aziraphale was too vague, and Anthony has no idea there was any message underneath those words. Aziraphale takes a deep, shaky breath and slides the letter out of the envelope. "Hey, Angel." That's a joke Anthony made in his very first letter, how the name Aziraphale sounded either like an angel or a painkiller drug, and he liked the first option better. Aziraphale doesn't feel like it's a joke anymore, and he dearly hopes it's not only his wishful thinking. It feels like an endearment, and every night he prays to God that's what it is. In the letter, Anthony talks about his week. Uneventful, he calls it, then proceeds to describe all the places he's been, people he's seen, and Aziraphale envies and fears his freedom at the same time. Then he responds to subjects Aziraphale touched in his last letter. He teases him for his music tastes, quite sharply too, recommends a movie, tells him what wine would pair well with his favorite dish. No mention of a meeting, no response to Aziraphale's words, except for a "can't wait for your next letter, Angel," tucked right there at the end. Aziraphale is relieved and disappointed at the same time. Anthony still wants to talk to him. However, he doesn't seem to want to meet. Or perhaps he does, and Aziraphale just needs to be brave for once in his life and ask him more directly. Not everyone has been conditioned since early childhood to read between the lines and pay attention to every shift in the mood of the people around them. It's a Thursday, so he has all the time to write a reply. Something just as light in tone as Anthony's letter, no getting maudlin, no veering towards romantic at all. Just one friend writing to another. If he's honest, Aziraphale has more than once imagined what it'd be like to go on a proper date. Drink the wine Anthony recommends, share a meal, kiss under the cover of the night. He doesn't even know what Anthony looks like, and doesn't even want to start thinking about how disappointing Anthony would find his appearance, but oh, when he's able to put all worries aside, that's what he wants, with an intensity that burns and scares him. On Wednesday, he tells Michael he's going to his favorite bookshop to retrieve a book he ordered, and she looks at him like she can't believe someone as boring as him would exist. No matter. He keeps touching the letter for Anthony on the train, terrified to lose it. When he finally climbs the stairs out into the sunlight, he's clutching it in both hands. It is of the utmost importance that he puts the letter in the postbox, or there will be no reply to look forward to in the coming days. He is lost in such thoughts when he turns the corner of Oxford Street and sees a man leaning against his postbox. His heart is immediately in his throat. He doesn't know how he knows, but he knows that's his Anthony waiting for him. He has a box of pastries in one hand and dark glasses over his eyes, long red hair framing his face, and jeans so tight it's a wonder he can walk in them. Aziraphale isn't sure what to do. For a moment he contemplates turning back and leaving. If they don't meet, nothing bad can happen, right? They can continue being friends, nothing more, but also nothing less. In the end, it's not bravery that pushes him forward, but the fact that Anthony raises his gaze and spots him. Aziraphale's still clutching his letter, and he must look rather dumbstruck. There's no doubt Anthony recognizes him. Aziraphale walks up to him, unsure what to do or to say. Just as he breathes in to speak, Anthony lifts up his glasses and blinks slowly. And oh, he has such lovely hazel eyes. Then looks him up and down and grins. "Hey, Angel," he says. "Hi," Aziraphale replies, smiling right back. The end.